Okay, that does it for our Supreme Court merits cases. Jumping to page 12 of the materials, one grant of certiorari worth mentioning here. It's not a maritime case, but it has a very salty flavor to it. The lower court case we talked about in last year's paper, it's now at the Supreme Court as Helix Energy Solutions Group versus Hewitt. It's a Fair Labor Standards Act case. The Supreme Court will be reviewing a 12-6 en banc decision of the Fifth Circuit. The question here was whether or not a tool pusher who's paid over $200,000 a year on a day rate basis is, in addition, allowed to claim overtime because he works 80-some hours in a normal week, which is well over the 40 hours that triggers overtime payment under the Fair Labor Standards Act. The issue for the court, and was argued earlier this week, the issue for the court is whether or not he was a salaried employee. Generally speaking, if you work over 40 hours a week, any lawyers in this room work over 40 hours a week? If you work over 40 hours a week, you are entitled to overtime under the Fair Labor Standards Act, unless one of the exceptions applies. One of those exceptions, as we know, is for seamen, and we'll actually talk more about that later today. One of the exceptions is for salaried employees, assuming you meet certain other requirements. This tool pusher met all of the other requirements. The question is whether or not he was salaried. And to be salaried, you have to have a weekly or longer time period salary. So if you get a certain amount per week or a certain amount per month or a certain amount per year, that can be salaried. He was paid on a day rate basis. So if he worked 2 minutes in a day, he got his day rate. But a day is shorter than a week. So the question is, does he count as a salaried employee? Judging from the oral argument, it looks like the court is split on this one, and some of the justices seem to be taking a very technical what does the language say approach, and some justices seem to be taking a this guy gets $200,000 a year, clearly he's salaried kind of practical approach. Always dangerous to predict what happens based on oral argument, but we'll presumably have a decision, and you'll hear more about it this time next year. In the meantime, Judge Elrod has expressly noted this grant of cert, and she says that she hopes that this is going to be a chance for the Supreme Court to correct the Fifth Circuit's course on their FLSA cases. We'll talk more about that on about page 76 of the materials. But for now, I'm going to give you a chance to hear from Matthew. You can jump ahead to page 23. You can join him there.
Maintenance and cure. Have you ever had a maintenance and cure case that was just a hot mess? There's two that I'm going to talk about today. The first didn't go so well. The second was tough, but went a little better than the first. The first is a First Circuit opinion. It's on page 25 of the paper. It's Adlin versus Boat, Santa Rita. And it involved a captain who became ill in the course and scope of his employment and went to the hospital and found out that he had a group G streptococcus infection. That doesn't sound bad, but apparently this was really bad. He required two cardiac surgeries. He was inpatient at the hospital for several months. And instead of the employer paying him cure, the employer allowed him, or he took it upon himself, to rely upon his wife's group carrier. When it became clear that that was unsustainable, she was let go from her job, and then they had to get a COBRA plan to continue to pay the premiums of some $2,000 a month. The employer started to pay what it called an advance of $114 a day to the seaman to defray expenses as well as pay these COBRA premiums. That didn't start until about 6 months after his original illness. The district court held that the fact that the seaman didn't request cure meant that the employer was sufficiently providing cure by virtue of this payment arrangement. The First Circuit reverses that. It assumes without deciding that a seaman doesn't have to make a formal request for cure. And as a result, the First Circuit puts back into play whether the employer breached its duty to provide cure. Though this is a First Circuit case, it centers around a Fifth Circuit case called Gautier, decided in 1985. In Gautier, you had a seaman who did request cure. His employer said, go pound sand, and he bought his own medical insurance policy to pay for his care. The Fifth Circuit said, well, employer, you don't get a credit for an insurance policy that the seaman purchased wholly on his own. So the question before the First Circuit was this policy, the group policy that the employer leaned on to provide cure, purchased solely by the seaman on his own, therefore no set off with regard to cure, or was it an arrangement such that it relieved either in whole or in part the duty to provide cure? The First Circuit lays out some options for the district court to consider, but kicks it back to the district court to make that determination.